Hey, this is Cleveland Brown, and you're listening to the About Last Night podcast. I guess your TV must be broken. Haha, just kidding. Actually, I'm not kidding. You're bored.
Hey, what's going on? This is Bill Burr from the All Things Comedy Network. I'm very excited to tell you that we are going to be releasing a stand-up special from the unbelievably talented, unbelievably hilarious, and unbelievably original Ted Alexandro. He has a new stand-up special called Senior Class of Earth. You can check it out exclusively at atcspecials.com and follow the All Things Comedy Network for more ways to support your favorite comedians. This is huge for us. This is everything that All Things Comedy was about. We wanted to get in business with great artists and help them to maintain control and ownership of what they created. And this is our first foray into that. Once again, it's called Senior Class of Earth from the great Ted Alexandro. You can check it out at atcspecials.com.
Hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Happy Monday. Hope you guys had a fucking great weekend. Today's a big day. Brad and I are taping the funny dance show for E. Our buddy Justine Marino sold a show. It's comedy dance battle. And Brad and I are a team. And we each do a solo song and then we do a duet. And it's insane. And we're taping tonight. So say a prayer for us, because we feel like we're pretty rehearsed and prepped, but fuck, man, you never know what's going to happen. But I think we're going to crush it. That is tonight, and this week, shows. Brad and I, live podcast at Stand Up Live in Phoenix, Arizona, all part of the All Things Comedy Podcast Festival, which is this Thursday through Sunday. Brad and I are kicking off the festival with a live ALN on Thursday, October 25th, 7:30, Stand Up Live. Tickets are available at allthingscomedy.com or Google About Last Night Stand Up Live All Things Comedy Festival, and tickets should be available. The guest is a surprise, so you got to come. It's going to be fucking bonkers. You got to come. The whole festival is going to be great, so come out and support everyone involved with All Things Comedy Festival. Live ALN, October 25th, 7:30 at Stand Up Live. And then what are the tour dates coming up? I'm going to be in Timonium, Maryland at Magoobies, November 15th through the 17th. I'm going to be with Adam Devine tomorrow, actually. Jesus Christ. At the Majestic Theater in Dallas. Totally forgot. I'm going to be with Adam Devine tomorrow and also November 4th, 6th, and then 7th and 10th with Adam in Grand Rapids and Milwaukee and then Omaha for the taping of his special. A handful of tour dates got canceled for the Adam Devine tour, but we will be rescheduling those very soon. And then I'll be in New York City at Gotham November 23rd through the 25th. All of these tickets at adamraycomedy.com, and a ton more tour dates are getting added as we speak. Brad Williams will be off the road for a little bit. He's on the Chris Jericho cruise for, I think, 2 weeks or a week, and then he goes on vacay. But all Brad's comedy dates are at bradwilliamscomedy.com. He will be at the Comedy Zone in Jacksonville, Florida, November 1st through November 3rd. Tickets at bradwilliamscomedy.com. Holy shit. What else? Fans. Fan of the week. We got emails. So many from you guys at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com. Appreciate the love and the tweets, but especially the emails. Email us, if you haven't yet, at aboutlastnightpod@gmail.com, where you get the pod, how you found it, what you love about it, and we're going to read those fan emails in upcoming episodes, and you get a chance to win some merch and connect with your favorite podcast host. Today's fan email comes from Brian Golding, who says, "Dude, hell yeah, man. I didn't want a fanboy out in front of you at your show in New Jersey. I actually work at Cadence 13 Podcast Network, so I meet a lot of comics and hear a lot of the podcast. And I got to say, you two managed to do a good job interviewing and keeping it hilarious all at the same time, keeping it deep and casual like a beautiful little Buddha and his big Jewish keeper, who are funnier minute per minute than most straight comedy podcasts with the interviews. Top notch. Anyway, I brought two of my friends who've never been able to come to the show the other night, and they are sold going to any comedy show now. Did the same thing 2 weeks ago with Gary Goldman, but did not get the same results, and that's fine. Comedy's subjective. At all, they were kind of in the whole situation. Goldman was good. I just picked the wrong show for the wrong people, which does happen. Also, thanks for taking the time to talk to me for a while and showing my friends how cool a lot of stand-ups are. Just to talk to means a lot. If you ever have any questions about my company or anything, I'm happy to answer. I don't have power over anything, but obviously you guys are set up awesomely. If you ever need callers or participation, I'm in. Since Still at the beginning, not sure if you added something like that in. Also, the animated clips are dope. Brian Golding. Brian, you're the man. Thanks for listening to the pod. And shoot us back your address, man. We'll send you some free merch, huh? Of course, go to aboutlastnightpodcast.com for ALN merch. Hoodies, sweats, shirts, past, present episodes. ShopAdamRay.com for all the Adam Ray merch. I got a ton of cool shit up there. Quick fat shirts, hats, hoodies. ShopAdamRay.com. And a lot of great guests coming up. Lisa Lampanelli, Tiffany Amber Thiessen just got put on the books. Kelly Kapowski from Saved by the Bell, which is dope. But today's episode is very special. It's Adam Devine. Adam Devine back on the ALN podcast. It's been actually a couple years, so we talked a lot about a lot of stuff. And it's just maybe one of my favorite apps we've done in a long time. Adam's one of my best friends. And the chat was fun and deep and everything you want in a Monday app. So now that we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way. Oh, wait. We don't have the tour dates. I mean, the Twitter handles out of the way. At ALN Podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Adam Devine on Twitter. Andy Bovine on Instagram. Adam Ray Comedy on Instagram and Twitter. At Funny Brad on Twitter. At Brad Williams Comic on Instagram. Now we got the tour dates, Twitter handles, and merch info out of the way. So sit back, relax, and enjoy a brand new episode of the About Last Night podcast with the very funny Adam Devine.
Well, the weekend's over, so it's time to chat about it. It's about last night.
Sylvia Bastin.
Sylvia and L.A. Bastin.
You know who I recently made friends with is
Bob Menery. Ripper Magoo.
Shut up.
You know Bob Menery?
Yeah. I just saw he posted a video telling people to go to your tour.
Yeah, he was like, I followed him because I think he's funny. And then he reached out and was like, hey, if you want me to help promote the tour. And I'm like, can I get a Ripper Magoo hat? So we got a trade. I'm going to rock a Ripper Magoo hat on Letterman.
No shit.
Yeah.
That was the trade?
No, Letterman doesn't even have a show anymore.
No, he's got the Netflix thing.
Oh, that's right.
So I thought it was going to be like, all right, our next guest, we just had Obama. Yeah, we had Howard Stern.
Obama, and Jay-Z, yeah. Adam Devine.
Adam Devine, everybody.
That would.
He had his own show 2 years ago, and is now struggling to find himself post-workaholics.
It is cool that there is something like that, because whenever I see athletes trading jerseys or like after games, like what is the equivalent for comedians or entertainers? Like for you to be like, can I get your hat? Like what if he's like, hey, send me a Mike and Dave
need wedding date signed Anna Kendrick poster. Just Anna.
Yeah. Yeah,
I'm
Anna
involved.
Kendrick poster.
I don't know. Yeah. Anna didn't really have her own poster.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think what would be that equivalent.
Trading mics? I don't know. Trading set lists and signing them? But like, why
no
would you want that?
No one gives a shit about that. No one wants that.
Yeah.
My special, I was Jay Karras, who is directing the special, who's done a bunch of specials. He did Segura's and Bill Burr's and stuff.
Nice.
And so he was like, hey, it could be fun if like... we show you backstage writing your set list, and then like we peek down and like see the set list a little bit. And I'm like, maybe, or maybe no one gives a shit about that.
Yeah.
And I kind of think no one wants to see Dick Joke 1, Dick Joke 2.
Unless
joke
that's
three.
The set list that you pan down and
yeah,
see.
Yeah.
Like, that's
it's
funny.
It's just 200 dick jokes.
Yeah.
What I was
or just
thinking
a picture
is
of
like,
a ball sack.
Is me,
yeah. You're like, I'll wing it.
Is me writing like clenched fist, like I'm a third grader, and then it's on a piece of paper, and then look down and just get like, someone with amazing handwriting to like write
that's
dick
funny.
Jokes or something.
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
the most eloquent looking dick jokes of all time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Do you have a title yet?
I'm going through a bunch. I'm like, I don't know. The leader right now is Peter Pan motherfucker.
No way.
Yeah. Just because I'm Peter Pan. I'm never growing up.
Yeah.
And I'm a Peter Pan motherfucker.
So Peter Pan motherfucker, like, comma motherfucker, or
is
Peter Pan
Adam Devine is
a Peter Pan
motherfucker.
Okay,
I love it, because you can't just put Adam Devine as Peter Pan, because then people were like, are they redoing it?
Yeah.
Is he the new Mary Martin? Yeah, no one got good that call. Reference.
Drink five if you're no, playing the Mary Martin game, and you're not, so don't drink.
You guys got that reference. Awesome.
Is she the one who
did
that?
Yeah, no, I did.
Yeah, no one else got the Mary Martin. No one listening's like, oh, yeah, solid Mary Martin reference, yeah. Brad.
What the fuck are you talking about? But what is Mary Martin? I don't know. I don't know that reference.
She was the she did the live or the stage version, right?
Yeah. She was Peter Pan on Broadway.
How do you know that?
I have really random ass facts.
Brad truly will never grow up.
That Well, I mean that's
well, no, that's the most adult reference you could pull. The the actress who played Peter Pan in the Broadway version.
What do you mean? All children know the original cast of Broadway.
Yes. Not growing up, it's just going, Rufio.
Also, Bangarang could be another title option.
Yeah.
There you go.
I have a buddy who's really good friends with the guy who played Rufio. Do we want to get him for a cameo?
For the special?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Okay.
Yeah.
You don't want him to be like... Like you're talking to Rufio before you go out.
How great would that be is like you are like it's, you know, Peter Pan motherfucker comes up as the title and then you walk into stage and just really quickly he's backstage. He gives you a high five and you never address it. And he's in full Rufio getup.
I'm walking through the lobby to like walk through the crowd to go to the stage and he opens the door. And I'm like, wait, don't I know you? And he's like, Never Gonna Sleep, Never Gonna Die or just Never Gonna Die maybe.
He's wearing that shirt, or he says that to you.
No, that's that another possible name. Yeah.
When we sang that on the first tour recap episode, I got so many emails and messages saying like, "When is Never Gonna Sleep, Never Gonna Die merch coming?"
Never, but I hope someone else makes it and they can make the money.
I mean, we can give you the number of a really great T-shirt.
Yeah,
and then you guys can make this. It. Yeah, you're doing it in Omaha.
Yeah, doing the special in Omaha.
Yeah, that's big time.
Yeah,
because you've never done a true hometown show since. Mm-hmm. You've become a mega international superstar.
Yeah. No, I haven't. I haven't gone back since I've been a regional level superstar. So I'm doing it in Omaha. Like all my family and friends are going to be there. Actually, like less friends than I thought. Like a lot of people are like, dude, oh, I wish I could. And I'm like, the fuck are you? It's my special, asshole. Mm-hmm. And I'm also have like a. Like my manager Isaac was like, "Hey, I'm not gonna put anyone in your eye line," and I'm like, "Why?" And he goes, "I don't know. Maybe that would throw you." I'm like, "Seeing friendly faces? I don't know if that would throw me." But then I got to thinking, I'm like, "Maybe it would," because my parents specifically and my family are so supportive.
Yeah,
they're like overly supportive.
Yeah,
and that could throw me if I look down and just see my mom like. Just going like, you can do it.
Oh, yeah.
Just mouthing like, I believe in you.
Oh, Puddin' screamed, have fun while I was at the free throw line in a basketball playoff game my senior year of high school. So there's no telling what moms are capable of.
Have fun.
It was dead silent. And I literally leaned over in a sold out fucking basketball gym. I go, Mom, shut up. And everyone started laughing. And she goes, sorry.
Puddin'.
Have fun. So yeah, you don't want, I mean, I think you want it to feel like any other show, right? So you can minimize the... I don't know.
I guess hoopla? extra nerves.
Yeah.
I don't know.
But you've got a really chill mentality about all this.
Yeah, I'm kind of used to cameras and cameras being around.
Yeah.
So I don't think that will really throw me. I think like a lot of times stand-ups who like aren't an actor or like don't get a ton of acting work, sometimes just having like a crane come down freaks them the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're then they got to just do bits on cranes.
Yeah.
Just to make themselves feel comfortable. Fun crane material just to knock out that crane shot.
Yeah, on my first special when the jib shot came in, like I know I made like full eye contact with the camera the whole time.
Just
like,
stared right in.
There's a camera coming at me. Like we couldn't use any of that shit.
No.
How many cameras are you being pretty involved with Netflix for?
Yeah, it's mostly just me and Jay. I think we're gonna do like 8 cameras, which I think is pretty standard.
Yeah, it's
so that
seems like a good amount.
That seems like a lot.
You'll cover it all.
Yeah,
yeah.
Go ahead.
And then with all the stuff, with all the stuff that you're doing with the TVs, the movies, the Allstate commercials,
Captain Morgan.
It's Captain Morgan now.
Captain Morgan.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah. That's right. You did the pose in that.
I'm the official. What is my official title? It's like the chief party officer or something like that. Yeah.
I'm the CPO.
Yeah, I think I'm the CPO of Captain Morgan right now.
That's a damn good title.
It's. I mean. I've done a few commercials, mostly because I'm a whore for money, and Really, it's awesome. I love money.
And I love the people that go like, so Allstate, why'd you pick that company? It's like, well, they threw a sack of money at
me. I chose Allstate. Yeah. I have a list of companies. I'm like, Mike, I'm an insurance guy.
Yeah. Are you kidding me? If See's Candy hit me up through email or even through Facebook and was like, hey, you want to eat a bunch of, like, whatever the commercial
here's more
be.
Than your dad would make in 10 years of work. Hard work working for the railroad for 10 straight years.
yeah.
And you could do this in an afternoon.
But when you do,
everyone would do it. So,
but when you do break it down, Allstate, Best Buy, Captain Morgan, pretty dope, like, company to be a part of.
Captain Morgan, I'm the most excited
about. Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, like, it's you know, who doesn't like Captain Morgan?
I know.
A little rum rum for your tum tum.
And that's the new slogan. We just debuted it here. See, before was the Captain. Before was that. Now it's rum rum for the tum tum.
It's not a bad idea.
It's good.
Didn't you, wait, in one of the spots, isn't it surprising the kid?
Yeah, party? it was a not a kid, a fully grown 30-year-old adult man.
Oh, okay.
But
he looked young.
But
he had Botox.
But yeah, full plastic surgery. The guy was a mutant. Yeah. But no, my boy, I want to say his name's Tyler. It was his 30th birthday, and I guess he was a big fan, and I was shooting a pilot for my upcoming HBO show, which I'm excited about.
Hey, man, that's going to fucking rule.
But
the Gemstones?
Yeah, Righteous Gemstones.
Yeah.
And so I was shooting a pilot for that, and I was in South Carolina, and they were like, hey, what if we found someone in South Carolina to surprise, because they wouldn't see that coming? And I'm like, cool. It was this guy's 30th birthday. I guess he was a big fan. And I was kind of worried. I'm like, is this guy really a big fan, or like some – because they went through his girlfriend to like set up the surprise, and I was like, or is she? Was she just like, yeah, no, definitely, he's a huge fan. Yeah, right. He doesn't get shit about me.
He doesn't know.
But he actually was like,
yeah, he freaked out.
Yeah, he freaked out. Yeah. It was pretty fun.
That's awesome. Let's switch gears really quick. So this HBO show, got picked up.
That's the big thing.
Danny McBride, John Goodman, you.
Mm-hmm.
That's awesome, man.
Yeah, man. I'm like, it's sort of a dream come true, because I'm like such a Danny McBride fan. Like, he's
one of your top guys.
Yeah, he's one of my like comedy heroes. Especially he's one of those guys that like wrote his own stuff, created his own opportunities, and did it for himself.
That's what you did,
which is what I like always aspired to do, and really looked up to. So I'm like such a big fan of his. And then when I go to, he wanted to meet with me before offering me the part. So they go, okay, you got to go to Charleston to meet with him.
Oh, because he lives there.
Yeah, Charleston, South Carolina. So I'm like, God, I hope I don't fly all the way there. And then he goes, not for me. You know, he's like, I don't like that guy.
I want a Durs.
Yeah, so it's exactly.
Are you prepping on the plane and like trying to get your head in there? Or are you just.
No, it's a dinner. Like, I'm not going to.
No, what prep for a hang.
What do you prep for?
Yeah.
And so I go and I walk in this dinner, and it's like a side room of this restaurant that's like private, and no one's there. And there's a bush, like a plant in this restaurant, and he hops out from behind it and goes, boo, scared you, motherfucker.
What the fuck?
And I'm like, yeah, I'm in.
Yeah.
100%.
Whatever you're selling.
Whatever I got to do.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I love when someone, when someone essentially does, like, that's the most Danny McBride thing that he could have done as an introduction.
Yeah, it's like if someone met me and immediately I'm like, chug this, chug race.
Yeah. It's nice when someone sort of lives up to the exact expectation you have of them.
And then, but then he, like, elevated the expectations with how smart he was, like, because he always plays such like a maniac or kind of a dumbo, and then you talk to him about story and like
he's locked in, huh?
Yeah, and he knows exactly what he's talking about. He wrote the pilot, he directed it. It's about a family of evangelicals, and it's me, Danny McBride, and John Goodman plays our dad, and Edie Peterson, is. Our sister, and she's super funny from Vice Principals, and we're this family of evangelicals, and we're super crazy, dumb, rich, like worth hundreds of millions of dollars, like Joel Osteen level of loaded. We have our own private jets. We have three private jets: the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And we all live in giant mansions. We have an amusement park that's named the Righteous Gemstones.
Oh my god!
We like filmed in the basketball stadium. Mm-hmm. And so it looks like we do this big, our big Sunday sermon, and 20,000 people are there.
Shut the fuck up.
20,000 extras?
No, well, they did it. They movie magic, Brad.
Okay.
They took like 500 people and just moved them around all day.
Oh, wow.
And so then when they shoot it from the back, they could fill all those people
That's insane.
And make it look like 20,000 people were there.
That's
even
awesome.
500 is a lot of extras to fuck with, right?
Yeah.
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 What was that energy like in doing? So you were at a sermon type.
Yeah,
setting?
The stage was crazy, and I'm like, this is too much. But then they showed me videos of these mega churches.
Oh yeah,
and you're like, oh, it's not crazy.
It's bonkers.
In fact, like we could have gone bigger.
Yeah,
but the stage looked like it was the MTV Movie Awards. It was giant.
These guys are rock stars too, right?
Yeah.
Like Joel Osteen and
oh man.
I mean, they're like gods.
Literally out of a South Park episode, there was one of these guys about maybe like a month and a half ago that was asking his followers to buy him a new jet.
Yeah.
No, like up, not even being like, I'm going to ask for homeless shelter money, but then used to buy a jet. He's like, no, the Lord wants me to have a jet.
Yeah, so I can spread the word faster.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that it's really, really nuts. And so we're kind of like, I haven't seen a show like in that world. Mm-hmm. And the family's like a little corrupt, and you really get like, to kind of look behind the curtain of like what it's like to be in that family, because like John Goodman, like he's like pretty in the pilot, you see that he's pretty, he believes everything, and he's like, he's the guy, he's the one that built the empire.
Oh shit.
And then we're his kids. Like, imagine being born in that family, and like, whether you believe in God or whatever, like, I'm sure you have your beliefs,
you gotta
because
buy in.
Cause that's your family, but like,
you're not gonna go against
that,
it.
Are you that far in?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, are you, like, I'm the youngest one, so I'm, like, kind of the rebellious one who's kind of like,
that's awesome.
I don't know.
Oh,
yeah, maybe.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What a great part.
Yeah, who just, I'm spending so much of their money. Like, my house is so dumb. I have video games everywhere, Papa Shots, like, just.
Oh, my. So they designed, like, a bedroom for you that was just bonkers?
Yeah, just the whole house is just, like, everywhere you go.
Because you have your own mansion.
Yeah, my own mansion. So it's just lined
it's
with.
It's like blank video. Check.
Yeah, it's totally like blank check. But it's super, super fun. And we're going to film that at the top of next year in Charleston, so.
Fuck yeah.
And just knowing that you're filming it with those people, like.
Yeah, man.
All the people you just mentioned, insanely talented. Goodman, God, just his run the last, like, 5 years has just been insane.
Also, career, man.
Yeah.
Like, King Ralph is
King
one of the
Ralph!
Fucking greatest movies ever.
He's so good, man.
He was the Babe.
Yeah, I mean, I know. He's like, I actually said, I was talking with Whitney Cummings a few months ago before I got the show.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I was talking with her, and she was working with him on the
Roseanne
revival. And I'm like, how's John Goodman? He's like, oh, he's the best. You know, he rules. And I go, I think he's the perfect career. Like, he's the career I would look at and go, just as on the acting side, not like the creative side or the stand-up side, but like, what a perfect career. Like, he was a huge TV star, then he became like a legit movie star for a while, and then now as he gets older, he's like becoming like a very cool character actor that's in super cool prestigious movies that comes in and just crushes.
Dude, Flight, he was unbelievable.
Yeah. Oh, Cloverfield.
Oh yeah.
Ken Cloverfield Lane or whatever.
Yeah, That character where you're like, oh good, he's the good guy that saves the oh god, he's crazy.
Is he evil?
Yeah.
And then spoiler alert, he wasn't.
Good man.
Sorry.
Good.
Someone's going, no, you ruined 10 Cloverfield Lane for me.
Yeah.
It came out 2.5 years ago, man.
Get with it.
Watch it.
Yeah.
Did he have like a process that was interesting to watch, or did he give you any advice, or do you not?
Yeah, it was crazy because like I got a chance to like work with some like really cool actor like De Niro.
Yeah,
and like guys at that level that are just so good. And De Niro's like the opposite. De Niro like doesn't do anything. He sits there quietly in his chair and either reads a newspaper or looks at one of his two phones, just wheeling and dealing. And
one of them is just DraftKings.
I think he doesn't. Yeah, I think he doesn't even talk to anyone. I think because he's always just like whispering into a phone. I think he like doesn't like to talk to people so much.
He's faking it.
That he fakes it. I honestly do.
Hey, but, and that makes complete sense, yeah, totally. Because if you're so Robert De Niro, everyone wants to have their Robert De Niro story, yeah, their moment.
If you've been like, on sets for 40 plus years, yeah, you're probably over the small talk.
Yeah, you're done.
Yeah.
So, but, so he would just like suddenly they'd call like rolling, sound speeds, and all of a sudden De Niro's on his mark, action, and then he's acting.
No way.
Yeah. When wow. John is like very much like he's there, he's hanging out, he like is doing stretches, he's doing like vocal warm-ups. He like
yeah, what did
like
we joke his vocal warm-up was? Man, John, good man, man, good. Man, yeah. Man, good, good man.
Man, good man, good man. John, good man, man, good man. I wish that were the case.
Yeah. Yeah.
But no. And
he's
then,
a pro.
And then you see like how like as an actor you... I don't really have a process like this. I try to just do the best I can, damn near every take. Mm-hmm. But and it's not that he wasn't trying, but you saw like the coverage that he knew that they were going to use of him, like the close coverage.
Oh yeah,
you saw him like take it up a notch. Not that he was bad otherwise. I never even noticed it.
Right.
I thought he was killing it every time, and then all of a sudden it got into his coverage, and you were like, "Gagoo!"
Oh shit!
You just like took it up.
John Goodman acting.
Yeah, just hit that next gear. And I'm like, I don't know if I have that gear.
Uh-oh.
Do you need that extra gear?
Did you have time to talk with him at all?
I have a Ford Taurus motor. You're a Porsche.
Did you have time to talk with him at all, like in between takes and anything like that? Or was he just in his own world?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I'm not from New Orleans, but I've shot down there so much.
Sure.
And my girlfriend's from down there. Yeah, and he lives down there. And actually, we have like mutual friends in common.
Awesome.
So it was cool to just be like, hey, do you know Carlos? And he's like, what the fuck? You know Carlos?
The sound guy?
No, not the sound
guy. Okay, you just give an example.
Yeah. No, a guy named Carlos.
Oh, okay, gotcha. Yeah. Do you usually like to chum it up on set? Like, does that help you to stay loose and like, especially for a comedy, like to, I don't know, just stay in the zone and be in a dialed in, like if you're riffing and bantering, I feel like that bleeds onto the set, right?
Yeah.
Versus just staying quiet and sitting there and not...
Oh, for sure. Yeah. No, like being friendly and stuff. But I feel like I'm not the bit monster that you are.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Looking at your Insta stories when you were the star of the Bellman movie, which I'm excited about.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
I feel like I'm not quite the bit monster that you are.
I was just so excited.
Yeah.
You could tell. Adam, what were you saying? Like, what is you were... Adam, for people who don't know this, everyone needs an Adam Devine in their life to...
I mean, comment that's just good life advice.
It is. To comment on your behavior, what you do, what you post, because A, you put me in check, but like it's always so comedically, it immediately makes me laugh, and it's like I think I posted something on the gym, and I was saying something, I was doing like a jokey Trump rant or something on the gym, and you were like... I was posting a bunch of videos. I did like 5 stories in a row, and you were like, while I was on the elliptical, and you were like, whoa, man, settle down. It's day one. Like, too many stories. Like, you know.
Yeah, I'm actually trying to do more stories because I feel like people
you're not
like
that active.
No, I'm not that active, and I could be a little more. But I feel like there has to be a happy medium because as soon as you open up someone's stories, and you want to see a few stories of them throughout the day, but you don't want to see like 20 of them.
No. There's that sweet spot of like 5 or 6.
Yeah,
over a 24-hour period where like, all right, I can watch this in 30 seconds and be done. Not like when you see all those marks up top, like that looks like about 48 stories.
Yeah, you're like, I'm going to check out.
Yeah, this is not going to happen.
Right. Brad, you had a good run of stories recently where you were at that the zoo or some animal museum? What was it? Where you were, and he was doing all these animal pun play on words where he was, give me an example of
oh
one.
Oh my God. I think there was like a giraffe, and I'm like, that's an animal that'll really stick its neck out for you.
Then he would do
puns.
That and then go... After every one, I was like, that's great. I want to watch all those.
Fun dad jokes.
Yeah, jokes are fun.
They are fun.
We have something in common in that we both thrown out a first pitch at an Angel game.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
He just did it.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
Wee Man did not like my pitch because I did not go to the mound.
Oh, really?
I was right in front of the mound because a player told me that. Like that's it. The pitcher that day, like he doesn't want anyone on his mound or whatever.
Well, yeah, I've thrown out the first pitch 3 times now, And
oh, shit.
All three Angel games? Or
no, one Angel game, one Dodger game, and a Diamondbacks game.
Okay.
Yeah. And
has anyone done every stadium?
There's a girl that's trying to right now. She has a 3D printed arm, and she's trying to, like, throw the first pitch.
I was about to say,
stadium.
Is she famous? I mean, but fucking okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's you're about to be.
Yeah, she'll do it. Baseball will make that happen.
Yeah. But, yeah, I've had them say, like, you can't go on the mound before.
Yeah.
And that sucks because you do want to feel like, but the mound is like higher than you think it is.
Yeah.
And so I threw it at an Angels game and they let me stand on the mound that time.
Yeah.
And I threw it out. I was like, because I've thrown a, maybe a strike. Like it would have been questionable if it's a strike.
Sure.
Then one that's way outside, but the catcher caught it. And then the Angel game, I just threw it and hit the backstop. I was like, I'm going to make it there. I'm not going to bounce it. I'm making it there. And then I just threw it to the moon.
Yeah. But there's this added pressure of, like, you're a comedic guy. You're a funny guy. So you're like, what can I do to make this funny? Like, I have to do something. I can't just be like, throw the ball.
People want that, right? But then at the end of the day, like, who's really assessing the first pitches, right?
Yeah, well,
your soul.
It's like, well, you want to, as a comedian, do something funny.
Yeah.
But as a guy, you just want to throw a heap.
Oh, yeah.
You want people to be like, haha, this guy's great, but wait, he's an elite level athlete.
That's more important than
up.
Yeah, that's
like,
more important than getting the laps.
He is the new Rookie of the Year. Right. You're looking for a spinoff movie.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Where, Rookie of the Year, the stand-up comedian edition.
We all want to be athletes.
There was more pressure when I was doing that first pitch than, like, any show I've ever done.
I sang the national anthem once at a Dodgers.
That to me is the bucket list thing.
And that was I was legit very, very nervous.
Yeah.
I don't get like that nervous about stuff because I'm always like, I'm going to do my best.
Yeah.
And then if it sucks, it'll be funny.
Yeah.
And
you're confident you can spin it.
Yeah. But with that, you're like,
You can't.
If you fuck it up,
you fucked it up.
People hate you. Yeah. People are like, you hate America.
Right.
You're in ISIS.
You are in ISIS.
Yeah.
You are a Taliban member. I was like so nervous.
Did you practice a lot?
Yeah. I practiced a bunch.
Yeah.
I go and you practice with the organist before the game starts.
Nice.
And so you're up in the booth with this 114-year-old woman, and she's like, "Oh, what key are you in?" And I'm like, "I don't know what that means." And she goes, "I thought you were a singer." And then because the girl probably told her I was in Pitch Perfect, and I'm like, "I'm not." And she goes, "Well, just sing it, and I'll keep up with you." And so I sang it, and she's like, "Ooh!" And I'm like, "Oh no!"
She pulls the plug.
Yeah. And
hey guys, Adam Ray here for the About Last Night podcast. Are you a man? Are you a woman? Are you transitioning? It doesn't fucking matter. You probably got a wallet with a bunch of bullshit in your pants, all right? Wallets, we all have them. You carry them around with so much pointless crap, receipts, hotel keys, gift cards that have expired, condoms that have expired or are about to. The Ridge Wallet is a new sponsor of the ALN podcast, and we couldn't be more fucking pumped. It's a sleek-ass wallet with two metal plates that are bound together by a durable elastic band. It looks nothing like a traditional wallet. It's titanium, carbon fiber, and aluminum, and that ensures that there's an option for everyone. You know what I'm saying? It's a front pocket wallet, okay? Don't put it in the back. You don't want to get it jacked. You put it in your front pocket, and it's designed so that you can ditch your bulky-ass wallet, which is what I've been fucking with for years. I got so much stuff in my wallet, and it sucks in the front and the back. It screws up my posture. When I sit on it, it feels weird. The Ridge Wallet is a slim RFID-blocking and lifetime-guaranteed wallet, and trust me, it's the last one you're ever going to get. I got it. I fucking love it. It comes in titanium, carbon fiber, aluminum, and polycarbonate, and over a dozen different styles and colors. So you can find the wallet that best fits your life and your style. Ridge Wallet, you know how it started? It started by a father-son team and got funded on Kickstarter in 2013, and it now resides in the pockets of, swear to God, over 250,000 people. That's bonkers. You got to get this wallet if you want to just be more responsible and organized. That was the biggest thing for me, is I had too much crap and I was losing stuff. And now I don't with the Ridge Wallet. If you want a Ridge Wallet, and I think you should get one, if you have stuff and money and condoms, go to www.ridgewallet.com/ABL. That's ABL. And use promo code ABL10 for 10% off your order right now. Go to www.ridgewallet.com/ABL, promo code ABL10, and get 10% off your order right now on your Ridge Wallet. You got stuff and it needs a home. Put it in a Ridge Wallet, baby.
So then I went and I'm like really nervous. And then they're like, you know, all the word at Dodger Stadium, all the words are on the screen.
Thank God.
Thank God. A lot of stadiums aren't like that.
Yeah.
Because they expect people to know it. Dodger right. Stadium, they're like, there's a lot of illegals here. They might not know it, yeah, but they want to feel welcome.
Yeah. Yeah. Let them sing along.
Let them sing along.
Yeah, it's more fun.
And that's a song that you've sung a million times and you've heard it a million times, but still, once you get out there,
yeah,
and once the mic and once the surrounding, once you have the slight echo from when you actually sing to when you hear it go through the speakers,
yeah
you could
and
forget
the words.
There's
a lot of words that are like, ower.
Right.
Like, you don't say over a lot,
no,
but it's in the song like a couple times.
Right. Yeah.
Did you have it blasting in your car when you were driving around, like to kind of just practice?
Oh, for like 3 or 4 days before, I was definitely just in my shower, just like aggressively singing it.
Hey, so it's like, man.
Because you got to start, because it's a weird song that like builds.
Yeah.
So like it's actually a really hard song to sing and sing well, because you got to start lower than you want to.
Yeah. Right.
Because by the end, you got to be able to belt it. And if you start too high, by the end, when you build,
you're naturally going to go for it even higher. Yeah.
And then free!
Guess what? That's not a funny, like there's no comedy version of the national anthem unless you're Fergie, but I feel like that like if
but
you
she
are,
wasn't trying, and that's what made it comedy. Like
that,
she wasn't trying to be funny.
No,
she was like, I'm doing this.
Yeah, she
like,
was just trying to put a spin on it. Again,
Roseanne trying to be funny.
I was there, and not so much. I was
for Fergie. Oh, that's right, that was at the All-Star game.
Yeah, I was there, and I was backstage, like getting changed out of my weird jumpsuit next to Ludacris. It was a weird day for me.
That's a NyQuil dream.
Yeah, and so I was getting changed, and I come out, and Ludacris is like, "Yo, what the fuck just happened?" And I'm like, "I have no idea." And everyone's just like, "I'm getting my phone's blowing up." And it's just like, oh my God, did you just see that? Ha ha, you're there, dude. How crazy was that? And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. So I didn't. Later, I saw the video and I was like, I wish I wasn't kicking it with Luda.
Yeah.
Which is the only time in my life I would say that.
Sure. Darn it, Ludacris.
Yeah, damn you, Ludacris.
What was it like? Because this is another bucket list thing for me, working with the Muppets.
Yeah.
It was cool, man. And the guys that, hey guys, they're not like real. Yeah, that was weird,
shut
right?
Shut up.
Yeah, there's
you
guys
shut
with
your
their
mouth.
Hands up there.
Okay. No. Okay. No. Yeah. All right. Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for
disagree.
Joining us, Adam. Yeah. Okay.
They, those guys,
this guy,
are fucking amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like
the puppeteers.
Yeah, they're just like cool old hippie guys.
Yes. Yeah.
That are
that's
really,
what Jim Henson was.
Really nice.
Yeah.
Just like you could tell they probably did a lot of acid back in the day.
Yeah.
Very funny. And they have to like, it's like you're a workout for them, because they have to hold this thing.
People don't realize.
Directly up above their head.
Yeah.
And then like lay on the ground and do this. So like they come down and they're like working their shoulders out, and like rubbing their shoulders. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably... It probably like holding this thing and contorting yourself
for
up like
hours,
that.
By
all day long is
Sesame
a hell
Street
of a
isn't
workout.
A short shoot. Like that's why like
so these guys are all just jacked as fuck,
so much shoulder definition,
just kind of in whatever shape
but
otherwise.
Only,
but they're
but only one arm.
Yeah, they're deltoids. Yeah,
this is the puppet arm.
Yeah,
like it's just ripped and like they have it in one of like those hyperbolic chambers from Zoolander.
Right. Yeah,
like no. This is
puppet arm.
This is my puppet arm. I don't even jerk off with this arm.
Yeah. Or do I?
Or do I jerk off with this arm?
Really?
Gotta stay in shape.
Yeah, super.
But like, what
power
was,
jerk.
Was there a moment where you're like looking at Miss Piggy where you're like, do you start crying? Are you purely professional?
I didn't cry. Aroused? No. But
she's a very confident lady.
Yeah. It was really cool, man. It was Miss Piggy was cool.
Was Miss Piggy in
Fozzie Bear? I did a bit with Fozzie as well.
Oh god. Yeah. Come on, man.
Wait, it was for
it's for this thing in Canada. It's called Wee Day.
Oh, that's right.
And W-E, not Weed Day. Bummer.
Soon it'll be Weed Day.
That's why you signed up for it.
Yeah, and it's like for kids. It's like you have to do like all this volunteer work and stuff in order to be able to go to this big event called Wee Day.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And it's it's where the Raptors play in their basketball stadium, and it was packed. There was 20,000 kids there, and it was insane. There was like all these other like young actor kids that I don't really know who they are, but they lose their mind for. Sure. I went out with the yodeler kid.
Oh, you told me that.
Yeah, and they weren't not excited for me. They're like Adam Devine, and everyone was really excited, and it felt so good.
Oh,
it's just like a nice warm blanket of applause over you, and like, ooh, I'll snuggle up in this. And then
you're riding a Muppet high.
I bring up the yodeler kid, and I'm like,
what's his name?
Mason Ramsey. Yeah. And I go, hey, everybody, he's going to help me do, you know, I don't remember what I said.
Yeah.
Mason Ramsey, everybody. And then they lose their fucking minds.
And you're like, oh,
yeah.
And I'm like, I thought you liked me.
Yeah, yeah. You actually, like the Walmart yodeler kid,
yeah,
you are willing to die for.
You've never felt so
bad
about it.
You sacrifice yourself for the yodeler kid.
How much have you ever felt so insecure about your yodeling abilities?
When I was a kid and like Nirvana or something, like Kurt Cobain.
Yeah.
Like I would just like, yeah, anything or a wrestler. For Kurt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or Diamond Dallas Page.
Yeah, I mean, sure.
Yeah.
Like those two.
Yeah.
Why is he that... is he a handful of videos? Like, what did he do?
Just it's that video. That video is just wildly huge.
Yeah,
it's like, why was Tickle Me Elmo a huge thing? Why just, did people
because it was
like
a fun
babies.
Toy and it was comfy to play with?
Yeah.
Why was Rebecca Black Friday such a phenomenon?
Great song. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Home run.
I still listen to that probably every other month.
Yeah,
there's
every
a few
Friday
things I
me.
Do. That would be great. There's got to still be people out there that are. Do you know what's so funny? I was at Funny or Die when that had just come out and was like doing a little video with them, and she was there like doing some, they were trying to like come up with another one, and her mom's in the lobby just like De Niro'd out with two phones, like she'd already bought a new coat, and I was just like, oh, Rebecca Black's mom thinks this is gonna fucking turn into a cash machine.
Do you remember when they
we're gonna do the sequel? We're gonna do Saturday?
No, they did.
We're gonna do Memorial Saturday. Day weekend?
Yeah.
We're gonna do Black Friday?
Yeah, we're gonna do everything.
Memorial Day weekend. Grandpa died in the war. It's
now
a
we get
good
to have a
day to remember.
We get to have a barbecue. Yeah.
Flag Day. Gotta raise the flag on Flag Day.
Oh, God. Let's go like every holiday. It's so funny to me because you know that happens so often to these viral stars or whatever where they have like that thing happen. They're like, okay,
well,
I'm gonna, here
well,
we
insane.
Go.
It's insane. If you get 20 million hits in a week, why wouldn't you think that the world
is
wants more of you?
For you? Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and like, good for you. Yeah. Like, I look at it when people are like, oh, what's going on? Why was he there? Why was she there? I'm like, because this is their like year window to go out and do all these fun things.
Yeah.
Like, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
Especially in Mason's case, he's like a little kid. Wouldn't it be fun if you're a little kid, all of a sudden you're wildly famous and you get to go stand in front of 20,000 of your peers? They're all like middle school kids, and he's like a middle school kid.
Yeah.
To go stand in front of 20,000 of your peers and they all lose their minds for you?
Yeah.
It'd be the best day of your life.
You're not going to turn it down because, like you say, you have that finite window. Jonathan Lipnicki from Jerry Maguire was like, all right, I'm going to be cute for like 3 years.
Yeah.
And then
this is my time to shine.
Yeah, exactly.
It was, it was like that in Australia, which I thought was really cool. We haven't talked about that since we went there.
Oh, that's right.
But that was because you have so many fans down there. Because you went down there a bunch of times for press, right? For like Michael
Dave and Workaholics. Yeah, a couple other times for press.
That was bonkers to me to be in a different, so far away from here, and to see people like on the streets at everywhere we went. Like, you know, walking through airports and stuff, you get it a lot. But that was like, that was crazy. And being at the U.S. Open and seeing, I mean, there was damn near a point where Maria Sharapova, you know, missed a ball and then looked up and was like, hey, bumper. You know, like,
wait.
And don't judge my sheer
impression.
Let's
go back one
there
second.
There was damn near a point.
Yeah.
It didn't happen, but we were near to that happening.
Can we just go back 1 second to the point where Adam said that you guys were down in Australia at the U.S. Open?
Yeah, he did say U.S. Open.
We were there.
But it's not called the U.S.
It's Open. Not called the U.S. Open.
You know what? This is my apartment.
Yeah, and it is.
Yeah, I know.
What was it called? It was...
I graduated, I swear.
It's the Australian Open.
I graduated.
We're down there in Australia watching the U.S. Open. Yeah.
You know what? All right, that just reminded me of another fucking
slip. Yeah, there's a lot of lies stacked up in that.
That just reminds me of another Adam Ray slip up that I had in New York when we were in a cab and we were driving to a restaurant, Adam and I and Chloe, and we and there was a bunch of sirens and cop cars, and I just see them all at, like, stopping an intersection, and I just go, LAPD. And then there's just a pause, and Adam goes, except we're in New York. And then I was like, NYPD.
It still works. It still works.
The LAPD.
Out tonight.
Yeah, I don't want to mess with them. The LAPD.
Can't mess with them. They're not here.
There, Adam.
Bud. That's so cool you got to do that stuff. Now, did you try to immerse yourself and, like, do, like, things you can only do in Australia? Did you try to, like, go
we see certain animals? We actually did. Or? We went and we saw, like, kangaroos. Yeah. And we did all that stuff. It was super fun.
Holding a koala?
Yeah, we held a koala.
Gotta do that. And
full on chlamydia. I've got it. I've got it now.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, yeah, and I'm keeping it.
A lot of people don't want it, but you wanted
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I wanted it. Yeah, I'm keeping
the koala or the chlamydia?
Yeah. No, the chlamydia.
Okay.
No. Okay. Gave the koala back, kept the chlamydia.
Yeah, I'm keeping that.
I was surprised at how old they were. Like, the guide was like, they're. Like, I mean, the one we held was like a grandpa koala.
Yeah, he was like 64. He was smoking a menthol. Yeah.
You guys here for the weekend or what?
Yeah, it was kind of weird when the koala gave you a Werther's Original.
Yeah.
It's like he just had it.
Did you, I was nervous to feed kangaroos because even though the guide kept being like, they're old as fuck, you know, they're not going to, but dude, when they stood up, I mean, I don't have a bit about it. That shit, like, was terrifying, no?
Oh, these... Well, I think people are now realizing just with the internet and all the viral videos of, like, animals doing funny things.
Well, the video,
like,
of the guy punching
jacked
it.
Yeah. Koalas are. Like, koalas are, like, yoked.
Kangaroos, you mean?
Or, yeah. Kangaroos. Kangaroos are, like, yoked. Yeah.
They look like they have puppet arm on both arms.
Yeah, they have full-on puppet arm.
So that's why I say in the thing, I'm like, why do they have that much shoulder definition just to rest? It doesn't add up. Like, yeah, right. What are they prepping for? They're just laying there.
They're prepping for the revolution, my friend.
Yeah, maybe.
One day, Kangas are going to rise up.
Has your sunburn pretty much gone away?
No, it's still there's still marks.
Bummer.
Adam, did he tell you this story? Adam, Adam is a homophobic man, and I want all of his listeners to know this.
Yeah, very homophobic. No, I'm very aware of it.
Very, very homophobic.
Very aware of it.
Because he...
tell your side, then I'll tell my side.
Okay. We're in Australia. When we decided to go to the beach, we either had a day off or it was before the show. I can't remember.
It was the beach in Perth. It was after, like, Australia Day.
Okay, so we're... in Perth, and the sun is shining.
Ooh.
We go to the beach.
Beach ready.
I'm like, I can't reach my back. One thing about me, I have these muscles that get in the way of me fully.
Yeah.
Like,
you have really good definition.
Yeah, so, I'm like a yoked, jacked as fuck, kangaroo level man.
Absolutely.
And I couldn't get certain parts in my back because... of my full-on slabs of beef.
Sure. Absolutely.
And I couldn't get there, couldn't reach. Adam's right there. I go, hey, would you mind putting the sunscreen on the back? Mm-hmm. And Adam's like,
I was a little, I jumped at it at the opportunity
then,
a little bit quicker
and
than
then,
that. I
wasn't so hesitant. And then he started to rub, and and then I asked, like, are you good?
Yeah.
Like, did you get it?
Yeah.
Because he's like... But he's, like, using his... He's, like, weirdly, like, doing finger paint. He's not really rubbing it in.
No,
like,
he's not doing a deep tissue.
Yeah, you gotta... You gotta spread it all over the back.
Right.
And he's like, yeah. And so I'm like, okay, he covered my back. I'm assuming he rubbed it all over my back. I lay down. The next day, there's these insane marks. I'm so sunburned. So sunburned on my back. Insane marks that we... That was in, what, February?
February.
Of this year.
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Of 2012.
And then he went to Australia to celebrate the 4th of July.
Exactly.
They got the best parties down there.
And so we're in Australia, and I still have these marks on my back today.
Oh, it's almost a year.
Yeah, it's almost a year.
Well, are we going to celebrate?
Well, do you want to see?
Yeah. Show the camera.
All right. Oh. We're about to see the damage.
I mean, it's obvious.
This is like months later. 8-9 months later. We're I mean
it's still here, right?
Oh shit, dude. Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah, down below. Yeah. Wow.
Guess that's what? Like, that's you gotta like, look for it though. It's like one of those books where they're like, if you cross your eyes, can you see the spooner? And and you know spooner. What? A spooner is a sailboat from Mallrats.
From Mallrats.
And so you know, it's there. Now here's my side of the story.
I like that you are essentially like the shack of the
podcast.
Yeah, of podcasts where you just get everything a little wrong, but you're so lovable that we
love that. I'll take yeah. it.
Shack,
by the way,
Shack of Podcasts.
Yeah, by the way, yeah. All right, let me. All right, I'm going to put a pin in what you just said about Shack because I have to tell that story.
You told me to rub the lotion on you. Yeah. I said no.
Well,
Shack doesn't do that.
So here's my side of the story, and then there's a great Shack story. Okay. Adam goes, "Hey man, will you put the? I have these arms. I haven't been hitting the gym. My arms are like whatever. Like they're just like they're not that big. They're slabs of beef, but I, like they're not the slabs of beef I want to get to.
Right?
Can you put this lotion on my back? I know that like your arms are really you give great massages and like, but and I'm a little trepidatious about having this much human touch on me in the middle of the day. But and I was like, fuck yeah, I got you. I'm your friend. Like let's do it.
Yep.
So I start rubbing it in, and then I just hear after about 12 to 16 seconds, thank you. And I went, cool. I think that was it.
That is what I said. I said thank you, as in
because I was like, hey, I think he felt.
No, I didn't feel weird about.
Were you just giving an early thank you, or
no? I thought your thank you was the end. No, I was saying like literally, it's like 5 seconds into rubbing. I was saying like, thank you for doing this.
Yeah, but I took it as a thank you. You got it. You can remove your man hands from my man back because
no, I would. I wanted.
That's what I took it as. So I just put them up
the entire back, or else why would I asked if you would have gone like. Yo, let me get that back. And I then said,
thank you.
Thank you. Then yeah. For sure you would have thought like, yeah. Oh, I overstepped my bounds.
Yeah. Too much.
I'm it's too much.
Yeah,
I go, here,
yeah.
Would you please put this on my back? And then I say thank you because I'm a polite man from the Midwest and, right. And we know right. Our yeah, please and thank yous.
So. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what's great though?
It's not on me.
After yeah. Every show, yeah, I take full responsibility.
You,
and I'm
right, okay, yeah, good.
I love you. And I'm sorry.
Yeah,
thank you.
That means he wants you to keep going with the podcast, I mean Adam. That means keep going with the podcast. Don't stop with the podcast. Yeah.
Thank
keep
you. Going.
I will say this, which was great. He then would close shows, which I loved. After I would, you know, after when I come back out to say goodnight, he'd go, give it up for Adam Ray. And then he would stop the next 4 or 5 shows and go, actually, real quick, before we get out of here, you want to see how shitty of a friend Adam Ray is? And would pull up his back and collectively, he did it at the Sydney Opera House.
Yeah.
And fucking 3,000 people just go, oh, when he pulls his back up, there's a Mozart tribute show there 3 days later. And he's like, fuck this guy. And everyone's like, oh. And then at one of the venues, he had drank in a shoey, which is where you pour beer into a shoe, right? And people, it's an Australian custom, I guess. Right. People lose their minds.
A famous Australian custom.
I don't know why. Right. So I felt so bad the first time he did it that I go, I feel like I should drink a shoey. The place went nuts like Mason fucking
Ramsey
showed up to also do a shoey. And I was sick
with it.
I was sick for 3 days.
Well, did you use like
my what? Shoe?
Oh, you
I've been traveling in.
I guess I.
Why'd you do that?
I also
because I'm fun.
You have to do it from your shoe.
Oh, okay.
That's part of the shoey tradition.
Okay.
And I also did it. I guess my feet aren't as disgusting and hideous and gross as yours.
No, they're not.
Because
no,
I wasn't.
You
sick.
Have Allstate manicure money. Okay. Yeah.
And then I hear that on this trip to Australia, you guys became like best friends with the Foo Fighters.
Oh. Yeah, that was a real bonding moment between us and the Foo.
That was one of the craziest things ever.
Because Dave Grohl is one of these people that I've never heard. I've literally never heard anyone be like, "Oh, Dave Grohl, that asshole."
Yeah.
Like I've never like every story.
And you never will.
Yeah, he's like
every
a
story
legit,
you hear,
very cool guy.
Yeah, every story you hear about the man, he's the coolest person ever.
Yeah, I was like. Because we got so drunk the first night we went to a show. We weren't expecting to meet the Foo Fighters.
No.
Mm-hmm. We had a night off, and we were in Melbourne, and we had shows the next night. And we were like, hey, we found out the Foo Fighters are
and
in
Green
town.
Day.
Yeah, no, and
no,
Weezer.
Weezer, that's right.
Yeah, and we were like, oh, my God, I know Weezer, because I hosted the Weezer cruise. Oh,
okay.
So I'm like, I'm going to get us tickets. Couldn't get tickets through Weezer, but got tickets through my agency.
Mm-hmm.
We go there. I'm trying to hit up Weezer throughout the whole show.
Yeah.
Weezer's not getting back tonight. Weezer does not
Rivers,
give a fuck about
yeah,
me.
Rivers yeah. is done with the divine.
Yeah. And so I'm like, I might not work. Then I get a random text.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, are you at the Foo Fighters show in Melbourne? And I'm like, who the fuck is this number? Yeah. It's an American number. And I go, depends, who's this? Mm-hmm. And it is the manager for Blink-182, Gus Brandt, who I know because I did a Blink-182 music video, and Blink is one of my favorite bands. And he also weirdly manages the Foo Fighters. Like, this guy's a huge fucking manager.
Oh, yeah.
And so he's like, hey, come, we'll get you side stage, we'll do all this. But meanwhile, we're drunk. We are drunk. We are like,
you're just going to the concert.
We've been pounding beers.
Yeah.
And we go, we didn't know we were gonna go backstage. We thought we could just go in like the little like family and friends section and get free beers.
Yeah.
And so we're pounding beers.
Yeah.
By the time we meet Dave Grohl, we are like sloppy.
Yeah. Remember Nirvana?
Yeah. We are just like sloppy. We invite Dave to our show the next night. He comes.
I didn't think they were going to come. They were like, yeah, we have the night off. Like,
yeah, I was like, yeah, well,
I'm thinking they'll sleep all day.
See you there. And we're like, yeah, sure. And then he actually ends up coming and he goes, so how you feeling today? And I was so embarrassed. I'm like, I'm okay. I'll be fine.
Yeah.
And he goes, you guys were pretty toasty. And I'm like, yeah, we were. And then the next time we go to see the Foo Fighters, me and Kyle Walsh were in
New York, right?
New York. And we go to see him. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not going to get that drunk. Not this time. I'm not going to get drunk and go see Dave Grohl. Have a few beers. I'm like at that level that I'm like drunk, but I can talk to everyone.
Yeah.
Go backstage, see Dave, like give him a hug. We take this weird photo where we go head to head.
Unbelievable.
And it looks like I'm going to kiss him and he looks like a rock star.
Greatest photo ever.
It's on my Instagram. And immediately one of his buddies is like, you want to do a beer bong? And I'm like, yep. And then I crush the beer bong. And he's like, I've never seen anyone do a beer bong that fast. Do another beer bong. And I'm like, okay. I do like five beer bongs in a row. Now I'm the drunkest guy you've ever met.
Yeah.
And we end up closing this party down where we're the last ones there. I'm sure Dave is like, Jesus, this guy's the drunkest guy I've ever met. It's like Dave, Taylor, who's the drummer.
Yeah. Yep.
Got a bunch of guys that are in the band that played previous to them. Mm-hmm. And I weirdly took a stack of towels that were backstage, put them on my head, and then did the cornholio stance in this weird photo. after me telling myself I'm not gonna be one of the drunkest guys there,
and you weren't.
But that's that's when you meet someone and they live up to the exact expectations you think of them.
Well,
I was living up to the exact expectations.
Oh yeah, Dave was like, Dave,
yeah, was like, oh yeah, the drunkest one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did it again.
The workaholics guy, the tight butthole guy?
No.
Yeah,
that makes sense.
He parties.
Mm-hmm. There's an extra side story with that you, that happened. So, you know, throughout your act, you'll sometimes comment and say stupid, right? Mm-hmm. After a joke, right? And didn't he, Walshy told me this, that after he, in between songs or whatever, you guys are side stage in New York, and he into the mic said,
I sometimes have like, it's almost like a tick. I don't even know why I started it. Just, but everyone laughs every time I do it. Like after a joke, I'll just go stupid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And basically it's my catchphrase. I'm trying to be Tim Allen.
It's your,
It's my,
maybe. Yeah.
It's a go-to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, standing side stage in New York City, Madison Square Garden. It's packed. It's awesome. I think that's when I started drinking heavily because I'm like, this is the best.
Oh, yeah, dude.
And Dave Grohl looks right over, looks at me, and in the microphone to 20,000 people goes, stupid. And my heart was like,
he's the coolest
like
person.
Yeah, I was just like,
he's the coolest
I was like
person
a little
ever.
Girl. And I was like all flush. And I'm like, do you need more drinks?
Also, like, that's not a show in, like, North Dakota where you're, like, the only person that, like, the only celebrity there. Like, that's Madison Square Garden. I'm sure that's a show everyone comes out to.
It's Pat Riley's been there.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like doing that's the show in L.A. You know, so for him to take the time with all that madness going on, just stupid.
Yeah,
like,
man.
That's awesome.
He's cool. He's the best, man.
Yeah. Real quick.
What's your Shaq story now?
Okay, so
I have to do the Shaq story.
For my birthday, Ad took me to the NBA Awards, which was...
Ad is a... Adam Ray's nickname for me. He goes, he doesn't like the whole Adam. That's too much.
Well, he's very threatened by the presence of another Adam.
Yeah.
So he likes to go Ad.
Yeah. He, big basketball fan. And this thing is like the Oscars for the NBA, but so chill. And
the NBA Awards.
Yes, the NBA Awards on TNT. And so this is how I met Adam Silver and how we got to go to Summer League and get hooked up, the commish.
So great.
And so, you know, there's all the players, all past players, and Dikembe Mutombo was there receiving a humanitarian award. And like they showed this amazing highlight reel they put together of him doing all this work in Africa. And, you know, Shaq, we had met him about, I'd say, 10 minutes before the thing started. Everyone's kind of lingering around. And what did he say to you, too? Like, I love your... he didn't see anything. He just said, I love your commercials.
Oh, no, he goes, he's like, I'm a big fan, man. And I'm like, oh, thanks, man. And then I made the bad joke of, maybe the biggest. Because...
He's never heard that before.
Yeah, because he's gigantic. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I love that commercial where you rip your hair off and go, ooh. It was the Allstate commercial. That's like the only thing he's ever seen me.
Probably.
Yeah. And then he kept making eye contact with us when he was on stage and like.
During Mutombo's. So look, Anthony Anderson's hosting. We're making jokes. It's all fun thing. Everyone's drinking. And then the only serious part of the show is Mutombo receiving this award and then now giving this speech. And you know, Mutombo has a very, very, he talks like this. It's tough to understand him, but it's really heartfelt. You can see. And he's reading off a prompter, his speech. Shaq is up there with Charles and Ernie and Kenny. And looks over and starts making eye contact with us like a fifth grader trying to make his buddy in class laugh. And starts lip-syncing along with Mutombo's heartfelt humanitarian speech.
Yeah.
So Mutombo's like...
About how he like it was a little boy in Africa.
Had nothing.
Had nothing and came over here and made a name. Like
Shaq is literally looking at us going like this.
Yeah.
And laughing and then going like... And like doing eyebrows and like mean like, and then he's laughing to himself because we're like holding each other like, what the fuck?
Yeah,
Shaq is singling us out to try to make us laugh.
We for sure were laughing like fifth graders too. Yeah. And also another point where we got very drunk where I was like, we're the drunk table. Yeah. And everyone at our table is like, yeah, we're the drunk table. And so we're like, how many drinks can you order per person? And they go, two. And so we're like, okay, we'll order two. And then another server came around and we just ordered with the other server. And I'm like, how many drinks can we order per person? And she goes, two. And then we got two. And then another server came around. And so we had six drinks each.
Yeah.
And I ordered them for the whole table. So we just have like 100 or drinks on the entire table.
Oh,
just filled.
Yeah.
And
this is what led to me being like, Reggie, what up, playboy?
Yeah.
Like just Adam said, he goes, you look like some European player's agent. Because I was just, you know, looking very dapper, but I looked like an agent. And like a European agent is very specific. So I'm like, let me see if I can roll the dice on this look. And so every player I'm like, I'd be like, Reggie, what's up, playboy? And they just like, I think are so conditioned to like being around those types.
Yeah, sure.
That if you act like you've been there before, he would just like, you come in, he's like, what's up, man? He's like, how you doing? You good? He's like, good to see you. I'm like, hey, man, just trying to live that life.
And there
he's
was
like,
a lot of people that Adam was talking to that they definitely thought they knew him from when they thought about playing in the European League.
Yeah, it could have been like Bosnia, still on the table, Ray.
Yeah.
We got a contract in a jersey waiting for you, man.
$5,000 a week. Let's make this happen.
Yeah, that was fun. Then later in the night, we got we were pretty sauced. Sauce boss is what I was calling ourselves. We were the sauce bosses. And then we cornered Adam Silver and talked with him for like the whole time I was like, oh, he's going to be sick of talking to us. But we talked with him for like 30 minutes.
Yeah, easily.
Yeah. He's a good dude.
Yeah, he's great.
Loves to hang, loves the game, very, very passionate about it, and can talk with anyone. Mm-hmm. But I'm guessing that when you're in that position, that's kind of your job.
I mean, no shots against David Stern. I don't think and also I wouldn't have guessed Silver would have been. He doesn't seem like a guy that you could just be buds with.
Yeah.
But then he's really cool. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, for anyone who's like, who the fuck are they talking about?
And the NBA is
up,
back.
Asshole.
Yeah. NBA is back, and you're going to a Clipper game tonight.
I am.
And so how are you feeling this season with sort of the core guys gone?
We lost the first game.
Yeah.
So I think we'll be 81-1.
Okay.
Yeah, we're gonna win out the rest.
You know what?
Almost choked on a gummy prayer.
Well, if you're gonna die,
no.
Yeah, die hyping your team.
Yeah,
choking on gummy bears.
Yeah,
but you know what?
Also, like, look
good
at,
for you.
Oh, okay, that didn't work.
What is that? A shitty magic trick?
Yeah, no, I was gonna show how all the gummy bears were stuck together, and then I go to pour the bowl out, and they all fell out. That's my bad. I owe you about, I want to say 18 gummy bears.
All right, so you owe about 17 cents.
Remember that? Do you remember ever in school where they had like a thing, like at some fair I went to in Edmonds, they had like a thing where you could guess how many Laffy Taffy were in like a big thing, oh, and, yeah, you could,
yeah,
and you could
yeah,
win
like
it.
The school carnival.
And I guessed it right one time. But that's just like fat kid instincts, you know? You're like, how many left? I'm like, 380. They're like, Jesus Christ, man.
it's kind of my thing.
We didn't even say Laffy Taffy. How'd you know what we were going to ask you to guess?
My parents won how heavy a cow was at the Iowa State
Hashtag
Fair.
Hashtag Omaha.
Oh, yeah.
I'll take the most Omaha
Iowa
thing ever.
Iowa. This is Iowa. Okay. Iowa. Iowa State Fair. And they guessed how heavy a cow was. And they won. Mm-hmm. And they won a trip to the Bahamas.
What?
Yeah.
For guessing a cow's weight?
Yeah.
That's fucking... See, that's why fairs rule.
Yeah. That and the
and that's like
fried
my,
butter.
That's one of my favorite stories of my parents, that they're just like... Because we were like young, and so they were like my age. Mm-hmm. They were like in their mid-30s, and I'm a little boy at this age. And
were
I'm
you
like,
with them?
Yeah, and they're guessing the age. And I'm like, that's just... If like me and my girlfriend are out at a fair just with our kids guessing the ages of cows...
The age?
And then... And
or
then,
the weight.
Yeah. And then... Or the weight. Yeah. The age.
That cow looks 27 real long
and
in the tooth.
He didn't graduate.
Yeah, that's an old-time cow.
Yeah, look
May
at
have
him.
Done some meth.
Yeah. He's been through some shit.
Years have not been kind to that, Bessie.
The weight of the cow, yeah, okay. And then getting to go to Jamaica and just fucking... You know, I know my parents are just out in Jamaica.
Dude, well, I mean, your middle name is good, Marley, that so that would make
weed?
Sense.
Yeah. I'm Adam Bob Marley, one word. Yeah. The kind bud killer, Devon.
Since you've been here, when we first met came out, amazing rom-com, crushed it.
Since I've been on the podcast,
yeah,
I thought you meant like for the past hour.
Yeah.
I'm like, it's,
no,
it's all
just
dropping
tonight.
Right now.
Great rom-com, crushed it, which you co-wrote, right?
Ooh.
What a fun treat.
Yeah, they did, John Winnington, very good writer, he did the first draft, and then when I came on as actor-producer, I wanted to make it more geared towards me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so I took a couple passes at it.
And that doesn't always happen, right, where the writer is willing to let... Somebody
yeah, it's not a lot of times. It's not the writer. Writers on movies don't have a ton of control. It's the producers in whatever studio it is. So it was Netflix and Wonderland Sound and Vision, and they were really cool. They let me kind of do whatever I wanted. So me and Scotty Landis did a pass on it, and turned out to be one of the biggest hits of all time.
I mean,
I'm taking a page out of Trump's playbook. Yeah. You know, you just will it into existence.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. No, everyone loves it. Yeah. Everyone. Yeah. The world, it's the biggest movie of all time.
100% of Rotten Tomatoes. I'm looking at it right now.
Yeah.
Absolutely 100%.
That came out while we were in Japan, and I think a few days before we drank Habusaki for the first time, which is snake venom vodka.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys brought a bottle home of that.
Yeah, I got a bottle home.
I had to do a voiceover job that morning because of the time change at like 3 a.m. And it's like 1, and I'm like, I got to leave the bar. I think I'm habusakied out. I think I literally am half snake now. And oh boy, had to work out at like 2:30.
You said that you were like slurring your words.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That shit was so potent. We found it in this like ultimate Navy or Army base like dive bar.
Yeah, that dive bar was like cool. There was like a
old movie theater seats in the corner.
Yeah, there was like a guy like passed out in the corner just sitting there.
There you go.
Like an old Asian woman just in the corner
knitting.
Like you do.
It was very cool. Japan was very cool.
Yeah. Brett, have you been?
I have. I went to the USO base. Where is it? I don't know. But it's not Tokyo. That's all I know.
Yeah, we went to 5 bases.
Yeah.
So I bet we've been to the same ones.
Yeah, and it's
Iwakuni, Okinawa.
Okay. Okinawa. Yeah. That's where we went. Yeah, and it's interesting when you go there going like, well, I've been to a few sushi restaurants. I know what this is going to be. Like, no, that is not what it is.
Yeah.
There are no California rolls here.
No California rolls. It was funny going with Adam because he's not a huge sushi guy. So trying to like eat Asian food with him was pretty comical.
I was like, is there orange chicken anywhere?
Yeah.
We did have
Who
that one
is General Tsao?
I haven't met him.
Yeah, I haven't met him yet.
We did it at that one place, though, where you get to sit down and take your shoes off, and it was like upstairs. Remember when they cooked in front of you?
Yeah.
That was pretty rad.
Yeah, that was cool.
And then what's the Dragon Bar? What's it called? In Tokyo? The
Robot Bar.
Robot Bar. Have you heard of this place?
What's a Robot Bar?
Holy yeah, shit.
It's in Tokyo. It's kind of tourist trappy, yeah. But it was super cool, man. Mm-hmm. You go there and there's just lights. It's exactly what you think of when you think of like Tokyo. Like just lights everywhere and insane.
Yeah. Floats and then, characters and battles.
And then they do this like full on epic in front of you, and there's like theater seating, and you sit there and just drink your sake and beer and watch like the epic tale play out in front of you with these giant robots.
Wow.
And and
there's 60 multiple performers.
Yeah, and they're like doing dances, and it's absolute. Look at Robot Bar.
Yeah. And there's like intermissions and little timeouts where you can get up and get popcorn and drinks, and which we did. What did you get recognized from too by the staff that worked there?
Oh, The Final Girls.
Yeah.
Which is this little horror movie I did that actually was really cool, but like not a lot of people saw it. Mm-hmm. And this like little Japanese man was like, "I know you actor." And I'm like, "Oh yeah," thinking he knows Pitch Perfect or something. And he goes, "Well, what is it? What do I know you?" And I'm going,
naming all this
stuff. Yeah. And I'm like, and I'm feeling like an asshole. Yeah. Because then you're just, and he goes, no. And I'm like, Michael Disney wedding dates. No. Pitch Perfect, no. Game Over Men, no. Workaholics, no. And I'm like, I don't know, man.
Am I in some weird Japanese game show?
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think you know me. I think maybe you are mistaken. And then we're like in there signing up to go into the Robot Bar, and he comes back and he goes, "I know, The Final Girls." And then all the people worked there are like, "The Final Girls, The Final Girls." And I like put signed they like printed out a photo of me from the internet, and I signed it.
Like immediately, by the way.
Yeah, immediately. Yeah. They're in the back printing.
That's Japan.
Yeah, and I signed this photo.
I feel like they just have printers on watches where they're just like, okay, there you go, sign that.
Put it up next to Kevin Sorbo from Hercules. So I'm in good company.
There you go, Kevin Sorbo. I mean, we're all trying to get to that Sorbo leak, man.
I'm trying to share a wall with Sorbo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is a new YouTube show coming out this fall.
Share a wall with Sorbo.
Yeah.
It's Sorbo's Italian eatery.
I'd go there.
Yeah. And now you are back on tour, getting ready for the Netflix special.
Yeah. So I got a bunch of. When is this? Are we
Monday.
Putting this
Monday.
Up?
Oh yeah.
Oh, yeah. So we're going to be in Dallas tomorrow, gang. Mm-hmm. Dallas. And then I'll be in Flappers working out some bits next Friday and Saturday. And then Charleston on the 29th. The 30th, I'll be at the Tabernacle in Atlanta, Georgia.
That's such a great venue.
That's where Bird did his last special.
Oh, cool.
Second to last one, yeah.
Yeah, awesome. I'm excited to go. The Borgata Hotel Casino.
There you go.
And Spa, the Music Box in Atlantic City on Friday, the November 2nd. Then Sands Bethlehem Event Center in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania on the 3rd.
Where's the website they can go to get all the information?
Grand Rapids, Michigan on the 6th. The 7th is my birthday. I'll be at Pabst Theater in Milwaukee. Whoa. And then the 10th in Omaha, November 10th in Omaha, doing two specials, a 7 and a 10, filming both shows in case I really suck for one. I'm going to eat shit on the first one.
Two shows is the right move.
Yeah, that's what everyone does. Yeah. I didn't know that. I was like, oh, yeah, you just do the one. And then everyone's like, no, you do two.
Yeah.
And I'm like, that's okay.
And those ones are almost sold out or already?
No, they're not. They're not quite. The first one's pretty close, and the second one, there's still some tickets. So
there you go.
Just buy them up.
Yeah, LiveNation.com. I think like Google Adam Devine tour.
Yeah, if you go to my Instagram, I have links and stuff.
Okay, great.
And then of course you'll see Adam Ray opening it up.
Yeah.
So there you go,
baby.
Yeah.
So I can't wait.
Yeah,
that Omaha. I mean, that's going to be just fucking bonkers.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really fun.
And the venue is epic.
Yeah, the Orpheum Theater is like this big, beautiful. Yeah. It's like 2,800 seats. It's like, it's going to be pretty nuts, man. I'm really excited.
I love that there's two. Like, this is going to be the second special, just off the top of my head, that's been filmed in Omaha.
Where's the first one?
Larry the Cable Guy when he did the football stadium.
Oh, yeah. Well, that was actually Lincoln.
Oh, it was Lincoln. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Right, Lincoln,
Nebraska. So I get Omaha, Larry.
There you go.
You don't get Omaha, baby.
And guess what? You also don't get to be on the wall with Chris Sorbo.
Yeah,
so.
Sorry. Looks like I'm getting her done now.
Oh, good night, everybody.
That's the show.
Night Podcast with Brad Williams and Adam Ray. Boy, they're a lot of fun, huh? Why don't you subscribe on iTunes to this fucking podcast? Give them a 5-star rating so this midget and this Jew can feel good about themselves for a couple minutes. Also, get on your iPhone or Android and get the podcast app. You can also listen to it on Stitcher or aboutlastnightpodcast.com, where you can hear past episodes with great guests like Lisa Kudrow, Paul Feig, Kevin Nealon, Bob Saget, Dion Cole, Chris D'Elia, Adam Devine, Michael McDonald, Jaleel White, Bud Friedman, Steve-O, Harlan Williams, Tom Arnold, Ron Funches, Rick Glassman, Blake Anderson, Anders Holm, Jessamay Peluso, Joey McIntyre, and many, many more. I'm Tony Danza. Thanks for listening to the About Last Night podcast. Good night. That's it, right? You got it? Sweet. Boy, it smells good in that booth, by the way. What kind of candle is that? Hanukkah Willow? Nice.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.